Thanks for your kindness. I look forward to tomorrow night. It's going to be great. Finish out the week tomorrow night. And just talking about marriage. I think if you were talking about Jesus, and there's really, if you talk about Jesus, it won't be long before you're going to talk about your home, and also talk about your church. All right? That's just all that goes together. You talk about Jesus, it all goes together. And the Stanleys were great hosts today. We went and saw the beautiful country up here. And I enjoyed all the hills we went over and all the sights we saw, farms and barns. And I know you folks are in the country. I mean, you're in the country. And but compared to where we are in the sticks, and you folks are in the country. I'll say it that way. We're in the sticks where we live. And we are in South Georgia. But South Georgia is a great place to be too. Wherever God puts you is a great place to be. It's just all good. But they were taking us over to a place, and I don't even know the name. We went to a place today called whatever it was. That's where we went. I thought everything was Ville around here. Taylorsville, Shelbyville, we kept Finchville and Louisville. We were just all these Villes. Everything's Ville. And so it was Bart's. Okay, they're rebels over there in Bartstown. And so he's telling me all about these. He's like, now we walk. I said, look at those apartments over there, big high-rise apartments. He said, no. He said, that's what they put the bourbon in. Well, first of all, your preacher had explained to me what bourbon was. All right. Miss Sharon had explained to me what bourbon was. And he starts telling me all this, how to season it and make it and put it in these tubs. And I'm like, how does he know all this stuff? I mean, I've never had a drop of liquor in my life, much less what bourbon was. And then he takes me to this town that's known the bourbon capital of the world, I guess. Two preachers and two preachers' wives walking down Bourbon Street today, all right? And we were, and Miss Sharon's telling me all about what they do. And then we go by this field, and they said, I think that field's full of a rosemary or some type of herb. I said, that field looks like marijuana to me. I mean, I got bourbon and marijuana up here in Kentucky. It wasn't marijuana, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Miss Sharon knew it was. She said, I think that's what that is. She knows all about that stuff. So I'm just kidding. All right, somebody look at me. I didn't know that about my preacher's wife. I'm just kidding. I really am. She had no idea. It was just so, but we had a great time, and enjoyed just being up. It's the first time I've been to actually this particular part of Kentucky, and we've had a great time up here so far. And so I gave you a little bit of homework last night, and preacher said he did his homework, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many did your homework? Because here's the way I was. My homework was something I didn't do at home. I did homework when I got to school the next morning, all right? So I'm not going to ask you who did your homework, but I hope you read Ephesians chapter number 5. And also I said, how about this? Take time to pray with your spouse. And I gave you a little challenge to have prayer time with your spouse last night. And I hope you did that as well. And because those are just the two assignments I gave you. It's the only two things we asked to do was just pray and read one chapter in the Bible. So that's all we asked. Then I gave you some truths last night. I gave you a few truths, but gave you some things last night from the Word of God. And we said that God is the originator of marriage. Now, how many of you believe that statement? Say amen. All right, God is the originator of marriage. And I made another statement. I said a marriage is between a man and a what? A man and a what? All right, we got it. Now, this is elementary. We got to get this right, all right? A man and a what? A woman. God puts those together, right? He puts those together. And for the young folks who weren't here last night, what did I tell you about? Why did God call her woman? Because he looked at Eve and said, whoa, man. I mean, that's what he said, right? I want these young folks to get this. Guys, let me help you out with something. These younger guys. Landon, let me help you out with something, okay? All right, girls are supposed to be pretty to guys. All right, can you say amen right there? Girls are to be pretty to guys. If guys don't like girls, something's wrong with them. Somebody say amen right there, all right? Let's say amen. If guys don't like girls, something's wrong with them. That's a good place to say amen right there, all right? Because that's the way God made us. God made us that way. All right, so God's the originator of marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Not between animals. Not between male and male. Not between female and female. But God said, I'm going to put man and woman together. That's the way God set it up, all right? That's not my definition. That's God's definition. And that's why God set that up. All right, then it's now found out in Scripture, not only did God set up marriage for male and female, but God said, I want you to live joyfully. I want you to live joyfully with the wife of your youth. So He said, I want you to live joyfully. So how are we supposed to live with our wives? How should we live with them? Joyfully, right? We live with them joyfully. It's just a great, just joy. Just be, I'm not enduring to the end. I'm not trying to, we're just holding on, preacher. We're trying to hang on. And no, we're living joyfully, and it should be a joyful marriage. It's okay for Christians to smile, isn't it? It really is. It's okay for Christians to laugh, isn't it? And it's all right for a child of God who's married and all put together. It's okay to be happy and being married, all right? I'm not trying to, I got to go out here and find happiness outside of my marriage. I am happily married tonight. That's where I am. So God wants us to be that way, to live. How does He want us to live with our wives? Joyfully, right? And then I said these words. I said, well, he that findeth a wife, help me out here now, Brother Steve. He that findeth a wife, findeth a... All right, come on, Brother Steve. You got it. You find the good thing. You find a wife, it's a good thing, all right? Being married, it's a good thing. You got a good thing sitting by your side, don't you? She's a good thing, all right? Amen. It's a good thing. So you found a wife, that's a good thing that God's given to us. It's a good thing, all right? This marriage is not a bad thing. It's not, well, I'm tied down. I wish I could be cut loose. I'm just, it's a drag. No. Marriage, God has put us together. It's a good thing. So I gave you kind of what I call a foundation last night. We built a foundation of marriage, and we said a marriage has to be built on the right kind of foundation. And the right kind of foundation is you must have a salvation testimony. You must be born again to have a right kind of marriage. You see, the world's struggling. They are struggling. They're struggling because they don't have the right foundation. And they're trying to figure it out. They're going to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they're going to counselors. They're trying to, we need some help. We're trying to figure out how to make it all work. Well, if you want to know how to make it all work, you'll find the instructions right here in the Bible. All right? So God wants us to have a joyful marriage, a happy marriage, a joyful, and kind of not one of those marriages that's just, we're getting by. He wants us to thrive, not survive. Marriage ought to be one of those part of our lives that say, Lord, You brought a completer into my family, into my home, my family, my personal life. We are complete together as a family. We're one. Because we said, that's another lesson that we learned. God took one, God took another, and He put those two, and those two became what? Those two became one, right? One plus one in God's economy equals what? Equals one. So you're now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, tied in. All right? God took a rib out of man, right? And He took that rib and He made woman. All right? And I know some of you think, well, that's why she's a thorn in my flesh, right here on my side all the time. No. No, she's not a pain in your side. Your wife ought to be something that you treasure and just esteem and respect. But you got to have the right kind of foundation. You got to be saved, all right? You got to be saved. Brother Dan said, 52 years? No. Being saved, I think you said you've been saved for 62 years, if I got that right. 62 years. That's amazing to me. 62 years of being saved. You need to have a salvation testimony that you know Christ. If you want to have a Christian home, you got to have Christ in the center of your home. Those are some things we talked about last night. Having the right kind of foundation, you must be born again. Then I said, you need to be surrendered to the Lord. I'm going to come back to that a little more tonight. You need to be surrendered to the Lord. You as a couple need to be serving the Lord together. And I said, the husband shouldn't run off and say, now, I'm going to church. Are you coming with me? The wife shouldn't run off to church and say, honey, you coming to church tonight? But rather, we should be going together. We should be serving together, living together, enjoying life in this thing called Christianity together. I mean, we should be on the same page, going in the same direction together, because we're children of God, okay? So let me give you some thoughts tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's get our Bibles, and we're going to open up Ephesians chapter number 5. I gave you the homework. You've already read it. So I'm going to pull some verses out tonight, and let's notice what the Word of God says about our marriage and how, with the help of the Lord, I want to give you some keys to building a godly home. Some keys to building a godly home. Brian, do you have your keys with you by chance? Do you have your keys? Can I borrow your keys for a second? You don't mind? If you don't mind. I don't know where they are, but I'd like to borrow them. I don't have mine with me. I need an illustration. All right, got some keys. No, I need a different set of keys. This is a Chrysler product. No, I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I got it. I'm just kidding. Keys. I didn't have a key, but I've got keys here, and I would just assume one of these right here. Key to the house. I've got which one? Gold or silver?
Silver.
Key to the house. I got a key to the house here. And so if I wanted to get to Autumn and Brian's home, I would go. Would take their keys. Walk up to the front door, and I'd open. This would be the key to let me in. This would be the key that allows me to get into their place. And there's some keys that God has for us. One of those I've already given you last night. And we were talking about building the right kind of foundation. There's some keys to having a godly home. And I want to give you some keys tonight that I think will help you. All right? Let's pray, and then I'll read Scripture for you. Father, Lord, my heart's, it's a blessing to be able to be in church on Tuesday night. I'm also very grateful, Lord, these folks who have worked hard today and they've labored and they've been in their work and they came home and they got here in time for church tonight. Lord, I want to tell you thank you for them, for making the sacrifice, for being willing to put in the extra effort to come to church on Tuesday night. And Lord, I do not want to waste not one minute of their time. And Lord, I don't want to get up here and speak just what I think. I hope and pray that we would speak the words that come from this book and make application with it to our lives, that we can have a godly home. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Guide my thoughts, guide my words, and of course, Lord, we pray you guide our actions. And Father, may you just help this seed tonight to fall on good ground. And when it falls on good ground, I pray, Lord, that it would bring forth fruit in our lives. So, Lord, I ask you to take this time together, and may it be profitable as we preach the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's read Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 20, this is our reading from last night. That's what I gave to you. He says in verse number 22, he says, wives, he starts out with the wives. So if you want to circle any words in your Bible, I would underline the word wives. So this is who we're talking to right here. Wives, he says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then he explains a little further, verse number 23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And I gave you an analogy last night. I said, God is our authority. God gave the husband to be over the home. God gave the wife to be the heart of the home, if you'll remember all these I gave you. So you got God is our ultimate authority. Husband's the head of the home. Wife's the heart of the home. And I forgot to tell you last night, I believe, but the children, they're the hub. They make up the hub of the home. They're not to be up here. A lot of parents are putting them up here. Children have to have their place, all right? You've got dad, and you got husband, you got wife, then you've got the children following afterwards, okay? So he says in verse, he says, but the husband is the head. Ladies, that doesn't make you second class, second rate. No, no, no. He says, but the husband, the order of things. Somebody's got to be in charge. Someone has to be in charge. All right? Brother Derek, I think you teach, right? Middle school? So if he walks in the classroom and he talks to those little middle school fourth graders, fifth graders, I don't know what. Sixth graders, that's even better. He walks into the middle school, all these sixth graders in class. All right, kids, who wants to be in charge today? Oh my, let them go. I mean, just let them run. Or the teacher can stand up and say, all right, look up this way. All right, time to get started. And somebody's got to be in charge. All right. The way God set up marriage, the institution of marriage is husband being the leader, the head, responsible. He's a responsible party for his home. And then you've got the wife. She's going to be right up under this. She's the heart of the home. You've got those children. They're the hub. They're the finish. They finish out that home. He says in verse number 23, for the husband's head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I want to remind you, Jesus Christ is in charge of the church. He's in charge. He's the head. And your pastor, thank the Lord for him. Now, I hope tomorrow I want to encourage you a little bit, but he's the under-shepherd. He's the under-shepherd. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ, if a church wants to follow, if the church is going to do anything, they've got to submit themselves to Christ. As a church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I need to take a little side note here. Preacher, Brother Caudill's here. Preacher, there are some ladies who will be more respectful to you as a pastor than they will be to their own husbands. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Ladies, you should respect Brother Stanley. You should honor him. Of course, that's a position God's given him, of course. But don't, Brother Stanley, and you treat your husband like dirt. It shouldn't be that way. He says, he's your own husbands. So honor him, love him, respect him. All right. He says in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Now, if you want to underline husbands. Now, first of all, we talked about wives. We underline wives. Then we came down, we're going to underline husbands. What's the husband supposed to do? Wives, the second. Now, wives, what was the second word? What's the word right after the word wives? What was the word after wives? All right, help me. I know some of you is like, I'm not saying that. I will not say that, all right? What is the word right after wives? So men, what is the word right after husbands? Love. All right, did you see the word there? The wording in Scripture, right? Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Now, how do we love? He goes on to explain it. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Now, men, you might want to underline the last phrase. And gave himself for it. I'm the head of my family. I'm the head of my wife. And you're not a dictator. Well, she'll do what I say. You're not a dictator. Love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll explain that a little bit. All right, let's move on if you would. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their what? Own. Their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So you love your wife, you love yourself. You love yourself, you love your wife. You should love her just as much as you love yourself. All right, let's move on. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You ever looked in the mirror and said, I hate you? No. We never look in the mirror and say, I don't like. Never hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Brother Steve said he had two bologna sandwiches for supper. Two of them. Is that right? Two of them. Had two of them for supper tonight. Now, I promise you, now he's a growing man. And he needs all he can get. He's going to take care of himself. Brother Steve, you're going to take care of yourself, right? He's going to take care of himself. Every man that I know of, they're going to take care of themselves. I'm going to eat. I'm going to provide for myself. I'll make sure I got food. And he says, hey, if you're going to take care of yourself, nourish yourself. He said, also take care of that wife of yours as well. Just as much as you take care of yourself, you take care of her. Oh, yeah. I need to go get a new set of clothes. I need to go get a new suit for church, a tie, pants, shoes. Let me go get something for myself. You know, I think the principle is, if I'm going to do for myself, I want to do for her as well. Well, honey, if I'm going to go buy myself a new church suit, I'm going to go get you a new church dress. And let's go do this together. Sometimes men, no. Preacher, I got to get my, I don't know if you guys have four-wheelers up here in Kentucky. I got to go get myself one of them UTVs or ATVs and four-wheel drive and jacked up and big tires. I got to have one for me. And the wife's going, well, honey, we just really could use some groceries. Well, no. We got to have this, a new boat and a new truck and this for me. No, that's not the way God wants you to operate your family. If you love yourself, you need to be loving your wife as well. You understand what I think? Scripture is pretty plain here. I mean, I'll get to the message, but I'm just trying to explain Scripture to you. It's pretty simple. If you will love your wife as much as you love yourself, that'll take care of a lot of your problems at your house, in my house. For this cause shall a man, for verse number 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I know what some of you men are thinking, like, you're right, preacher, it is a great mystery. I'm still trying to figure it all out because it's a mystery. This is a great mystery. Well, let me just read verse 33. Nevertheless, Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husbands love, wives submit. He uses the term reverence as well. Got a responsibility there, don't we? So tonight, if I could, if you'd just write down a few things with me. I gave you a little homework last night. But I want to have a surrender of life. I gave you a couple of thoughts. But I want to refresh this in my mind. Because I want to have the keys. I want to make sure I got the key to having a godly marriage. I want to make sure I've got the key to it. I want to make sure that I learn to pray with my wife. And the old saying is this. Some of you may never heard this before. But the old saying that many preachers have said before. And a little phrase is this little catchphrase. A family that prays together. Does anybody else remember the rest of it? You got it. Now, we know that's a little cliche, and we know that's a little statement, but how true that is, that a family that spends time with God together, you need to learn to pray together. Mamas and daddies, I cannot stress this. Remember I told you last night? Every night, prayer time, prayer time, prayer time. Last night, we went to the restaurant to grab our meal after the service, and as we got there, I said, we just need to take just a minute, step out with the kids, and I got them on the phone. They all gathered around the phone at their house, and we just said a quick word of prayer with them and prayed for them and asked God to bless them last night. And just pray every night of our lives. We pray and we pray. If we're out traveling, we always call and we pray. I want to make sure my kids hear us pray every day of our lives because prayer is so important. Also, I want to find out with my family, I want to not only pray together, I want to worship together as well. I want to make sure we're in church together. Now, we're on Tuesday night. I'm assuming all of you, if you come to church on Tuesday night, you figured it out. We need to be church on Tuesday and Wednesday, and if we're having it on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever the body's getting together, I want to be there. I want to be a part of what's going on in the house of God. That's one of the keys. I got to make sure that I'm there. Number, I'm just writing, give you some thoughts here. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. And again, this is a surrender life that I was talking about last night. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. Now, we were talking, I don't know why I keep picking on Brother Steve. I'm not really picking on him, but Brother Steve was talking about canning. He said they were canning purple whole peas. That's right, purple whole peas. You know what that is? Purple whole peas? I don't think I know either. But anyway, he was canning. And I know one thing. I know one thing about canning. I've never done this before. I never canned before in my life. I never have canned in my life. Don't want to. As long as Walmart's grocery store is open, I don't have to. But anyway, it's better. I know it's better out of the jar. But here's what I found out. Got those mason jars. And they'll take those mason jars and they'll put those lids or the rings on them. And that thing, what does it do? It seals up, doesn't it? If that little button on top of that jar, if it's popping, that means it's not sealed. If it's still popping when you push it, it's not sealed. Y'all understand what I'm talking about in Kentucky? Or is that just South Georgia? That thing's not sealed. You feel that thing full. You fill it up. And it heats up and seals that thing. Now, again, I've never done it. I'm just going on what I've been told. But I know this much. That jar, you can't fill it full of purple hull peas. And they'll say, honey, hand me some of that okra. Okra's not going to fit. Because it's already full of those purple hull peas. Hey, honey, give us some of that corn. No. It's already filled up. And you wonder why sometimes we as Christians in our homes are not walking as we should. It's because we have filled our vessels with things and self and sin and all activities that are not filling us with the Spirit of God. But if you are filled with the Spirit of God in your life, God is dwelling in us richly, there's no room for all the other stuff. There's no room for the junk. There's no room for self and me and mine. Because I'm just filled with the Spirit of God. So, preacher, how does that happen? That happens by getting up every day of your life and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to ask you, would you fill me with your Spirit today? Help me to walk in your Spirit. You say, preacher, that's repetitious prayer. Well, say what you want to, but every day of my life, that is my prayer. Lord, empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit today. Help me to walk in your Spirit today. Guide me with your Spirit today. I ask God to fill me with the Spirit of God. And if you want, that's not for preachers. That is for Christians. And the key for you to have a good spirit or godly marriage is to have a spirit-filled marriage. And the only way you can have a spirit-filled marriage is if you get up every day and give yourself to God and say, God, here I am. And if mama's spirit-filled and daddy's spirit-filled and they're both of them filled with the Spirit of God, you can't help but have a little heaven on earth. That's one of the keys we're talking about. You must be filled. That's a surrendered life. A life that is just totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And give it all. Just give it all. Because you can't, if it's filled up with the Spirit, you can't put anything else in there. It's just God. God just fills it all up. All right? Let me give you something else. So we're talking about surrendered life. That's the foundation. I was trying to finish up from last night. You see, I've got a lot we're trying to cover all the way through. But we've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'll write this down somewhere if you're taking notes. We need to have an unconditional love. If you want a key to marriage, is an unconditional love for each other. Unconditional. As Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. It must be unconditional. Can I just go ahead and give you a little newsflash? There are going to be some times that the road that you're on gets rough. There's going to be some times, ladies, when your husband just doesn't act right. You say, preacher, that's every day he doesn't act right. I'm just saying there's going to be some times where he doesn't do right and when your wife doesn't do right. And if you're not committed to one another, whenever you hit those bumpy roads, you're going to quickly just be pulled apart. Marriage, now listen to what I'm about to say. Marriage from heaven is one man for one woman for one lifetime. That is the biblical model for marriage. Some of you have been divorced. I'm not here to open up old wounds. That's not what I would ever do that. That's in the past. That's done. But some people say, preacher, well, I did it before. We got, you know, went through it, got divorced. It's easier the second time. My response is, you are married to who you are right now. Your obligation is to spend the rest of your life with that individual. So therefore, I look at you, you're sitting on pews together, sit beside each other. Brother Dan's been getting some sugar today, life's getting sweeter at the house. I mean, he put sugar in his coffee is what I meant. And life's getting better. And you're working together, but you've got to say, Lord, we're committed to this thing. Can I just give you a word to throw out of your vocabulary? Throw divorce out of your vocabulary. Get rid of it. I mean, that's not an option. I'm going to go sleep on the couch. Well, listen, if my wife were to ever tell me she's going to go sleep on the couch, guess where I'm sleeping tonight? I'm sleeping on the couch. Wherever she is, that's where I am. He said, well, no, preacher, we just don't do that way. We get upset with each other. I get mad. We go, I don't know, I leave, and she goes over and stays with Mama. No, she's staying with Mama. I'm staying with Mama. Wherever she's going, I'm going. We're together. We're attached at the hip, attached at the side. When I said I do, and God, and I put that little ring on that finger that day, and I put it on, this was a covenant that I made between God. And I said, God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to spend my life with her, and she's going to spend her life with me. It's not an option. Well, I'll just take this off, and I'll put it to the side, and I'll just annul, or I'll disavow, or I'll break it off. No, God wants you to stay together. You say, preacher, but I'm not happy. Wait. Did God say as long as you're happy, you stay together? Oh, preacher, but I'm just kind of miserable. He's not doing, and he's not doing, and she's not doing, and he's not, and he's not, and he's not. Can I help you with this a little bit? You can't straighten your husband out. Husbands, you cannot straighten your wife out. You've got to straighten yourself out. And if you will walk with God personally, that's your responsibility. There was a lady in our church going through a hard time. This has been many years ago, so I don't think it'd be, I think it'd be okay to share the story. There was a lady in our church going through a hard time, and she's calling my wife. Her husband had went to stay in a different place, and they weren't together. And everyone at her work was giving her, get rid of him, leave him, leave him, leave him, leave him, leave him, leave him. Why don't you just leave him? And she'd call my wife, what should I do? And I guess this went on for days. I don't know if it went on for weeks or not, but I just know my wife kept saying, don't leave him. Just keep praying. Don't leave him. Just keep praying. Just be what you're supposed to be. Live how you're supposed to live. Stay close to the Lord. And finally, God got this guy's attention. His heart got right. He got back and put that marriage together. That's been, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago now, I guess. And they're still together. What I'm saying is, what if she had listened to all of her friends? If a friend tells you to leave your husband, she's not a friend. If a friend tells you to leave your wife, he's not a friend. Because I believe, you say, well, but preacher, this is an exception, that's an exception. Well, why do we want to focus on exceptions when I believe God is in the business of restoration? God's not in the business of dividing and pulling apart. God wants you to be restored and put together and stay together. How long? For the rest of our lives. So it's unconditional. So I want to look at it as not, well, I can take it, I can leave it. I don't know. Maybe we'll stay if it works out. No, we're going to stay together in thick and in thin. Well, I want to give you a few thoughts here. The Bible says in verse number 22 of our text, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So I need to follow biblical instruction. I want to make sure I follow biblical instruction. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The Bible says in Colossians, as is fit in the Lord. Now, I don't know. Brother Cottle may disagree with me. Brother Stanley may disagree with me. And if you do, I want you. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be super spiritual here or out of order. But I really do believe that I'm the one that has to give an account for my home. I love my wife, but I don't know that God's going to hold her accountable for what was allowed to take place under the roof of our house. I believe she gives an account individually, but I believe as far as authority, that the authority gives an account for what he was over. Wives, he said, you submit yourselves. Ladies, this will help you. Submission brings protection. Because when you actually put yourself under a man's, that husband's authority, you're finding yourself in confines of safety. Because there's almost like accountability. Of course, you've got personal accountability, but all of a sudden now he is responsible to the Lord. You say, well, he's making dumb choices and dumb decisions. I got to take charge. Now, wait a second. When you start taking charge, you just stepped out of the umbrella of God's order. Well, I got to take charge. I got to do this, and he's not. I can't allow it, and I will not. And I'm going. And preacher, you don't know my husband, and I'm the one that's got to set things straight. Can I just help you? God can set him straight. And if your husband's not doing right, I know it's hard to follow sometimes when you've got a husband that's not really trying to follow Christ. That's tough. That's difficult. But it's not your job to make him spiritual. Your job is to follow Christ. Submit yourselves to your husband. And whatever God's will is, or whatever God's, God can straighten him out. God is big enough to do it. Ladies, could I help you with something? Let that man take responsibility for that home. Preacher, he's going to drive it in the ground. Well, if he drives it in the ground, he'll stand before God one day. Oh, preacher, he's ruining our life. Well, if he ruins it, he's going to give an account of that one day before the Lord. So really, that kind of gives you a little bit of an out, if I can use that term, that you can say, you know what, honey, I'm just simply following you. I'm going to allow you to lead our home. I found out about guys. Now, Brian, you may not be this way, but all my wife has to do, Brother Andy, all she has to do is just pat me on the back. Honey, that was a good job. And whenever she says, honey, you did good, I may be out, and I'm just using this as an illustration, I may be out there with post hole diggers, digging a hole, and if she walks up to me and says, honey, boy, you got such strong muscles, and you're doing a good job, man, I'll dig 10 holes. I'll just keep on digging, Why is that? Because most men, they thrive. When their wife compliments them, it just, I want to do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. So ladies, I'm trying to help you. You say, I've got nothing to compliment my wife, my husband about. You can find something. All right? You can find something. You just say, honey, I know you don't have as much hair as you used to, but what hair you do have looks really good. All right? It looks nice. I don't find something to build him up. preacher, but he's not providing. He's not doing well. If he goes to work for 4 hours, honey, thank you for working today. Thank you for doing. And all of a sudden, you find yourself help building. And I promise you, ladies, if you will encourage and you will be that exhorter, you would try to encourage him along the way, pat him on the back, and just I'm just telling you, you'll find your husband working himself to death. You say, well, I hope he does. No. I'm just saying, but you'll find yourself working himself and working so hard because why? He's just getting pats on the back. You're just encouraging him. Otto, I'm trying to help you now. If you'll just encourage him a little bit. So the second thing in that same thought is this. Encouragement goes a lot further. Now, can I use this word without in Kentucky? Encouragement goes a lot further than nagging does. I don't like somebody to nag. Honey, you know it needs to be fixed. I know it needs to be fixed. Honey, you said last week you'd get to it. Honey, you said last month you'd get to it. Honey, you said last year you'd get to it. Honey! It's like, I don't like to be nagged. I know it needs to be repaired. I know it needs to be taken care of. And I'll get to it one day. But don't nag me about it. Now, men, how many of you just love to be nagged? So, ladies, I know it's marriage conference. I'm just trying to help you a little bit, all right? Men thrive so much better when you compliment instead of just pulling them down and nagging them. All right? Now, men, that goes to us. We have personal responsibility that we must take for ourselves and say, you know what? I've got to step up. I've let my wife lead too long. I let my wife take the kids to church. I've allowed my wife to read the Bible. I've allowed my wife to pray. I've allowed her to be the one that makes all these decisions that she doesn't even want to make, but no one's making them, so she's having to. Men, we need to take responsibility for our homes and our families and our children. Now, I love you. I don't know you. I just met you yesterday. But the Bible says I got to love you because we're Christians, right? So I love you. But we are lacking men. And not only, I'm assuming Lighthouse is like every other church, we're lacking men in our churches who will lead their families. You say, well, I'm in charge. I know I'm not asking if you're a manly man. I'm saying, will you lead your family? It takes a real man to love Jesus, doesn't it? It takes a real man to get up and go to church with his family and not send his wife off. It takes a real man. I've got so many men who are just like, well, I'm a man. I do what I want to do. No, a real man does what God wants him to do. We need some men. See, one of the keys is this. I've got to follow biblical instruction. And if I'm going to be a wife, I've got to put myself under that husband's authority. Let him lead. As he leads, I will follow. As a husband, I've got to take the charge. And I've got to lead according as God leads me. And I'm not a dictator. I'm not like Fidel Castro. And I've got no one who can do it. No, but I'm going to follow God. As God leads my heart. And if I want to go and preacher, God's still in my heart about being a preacher, that wife, little wife, should say, honey, if you prayed about it and God's working on your heart, then I'll go. You may be praying about, Lord, I'm really praying about whether we should go to church here. Let me tell you something. I don't know. Maybe all of you are. I'm not sure. Some of you, no, I guess some of you are not members here. But you said, preacher, we're praying about it. Your wife should hear you talk to God about those type of decisions. And then you should pray with her about those type of decisions. That way, when that decision is made, she knows you've been praying about it. She knows that you want God's will first and foremost. She needs to hear you talking to God about decisions you're making in your life. I've made some dumb decisions. Any of you husbands ever made dumb decisions before? Oh, at least some of you are honest. But I have made some dumb decisions. I've done some things that honestly, when I asked my wife, what should I do? And my wife said, she gave me advice that I just didn't like. I'm just being transparent with you. She gave me advice that I didn't think, you know, I thought differently. Got my own will, my own thoughts. Here's what I think. And it just didn't line up with the way she felt. And I charged ahead. Got down the road a week or months later and what the decision I had made, and it really made a mess of it. And I knew it. My wife has never come to me and said, I told you so. Because I knew it already. She's such a gentle lady. If I've ever come to her and said, you know, I really think I made a mistake. I'm sure I've made one in my life. I'm just trying to remember. I'm just kidding. All right. But I just come to her and say, I made a mistake. She's never said, well, I told you. Ladies, we're working together on this thing. Don't tear your husband down. Men, when you try to lead being led by the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God lead you. The key to the marriage is I want to make sure I've got the right kind of foundation, that I'm saved, I'm serving the Lord, I'm being filled with the Spirit of God. I want to make sure that I'm following biblical instruction. I understand my role as a wife. I understand my role as a husband. And that's a whole series of messages there. But I understand our roles. Husband's the leader and the wife's following. But yet we're working together as one. We're all working together. You know, so much to be said about marriage. But I'll close with this. The devil is trying his best to tear this church apart. And I don't even know anything happened. I'm just saying, I promise you. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but it did not say the gates of hell will not try to destroy it. Every church I know that's trying to do anything for God, the devil's trying to destroy it. But here's the way he's going to destroy it. Because we know this, right? A church is made up of families. The old saying is, the church will never be any stronger than the families that make up the church. You want a spiritual church, you've got to have spiritual families. You want a strong church, you've got to have strong families. So therefore, if the devil's going to try to destroy your church, he's going to go after your families, because if he can get your families, he can get this church. So I want you to serve the Lord together. And realize when you're trying to be pulled apart, an anger, a hurt, our bitterness is coming between you and your spouse. All that is the old devil, Satan. I hate him with a passion. He's trying his best to destroy what God has put together. So you know what you might have to do? Some of you just might have to get mad at the devil sometimes and say, I will not let you destroy what God has put together. Can I ask you this tonight, as I'm trying to put all this together and close, can I ask you this last question here? Are you fulfilling your role that God's given you? Men, are you leading with passion, compassion, love, discernment, wisdom? Are you leading, being led by the Spirit of God? Are you leading? Ladies, do you find yourself saying, Lord, I want to pray for my husband. I want to follow his leadership. Lord, give him wisdom to lead our home. Give him wisdom to guide our family. Lord, give him wisdom, please. And as he leads, Lord, give me the wisdom to follow. I hope that you'll have those prayers in your heart and your life. I hope that you will, somehow God will put your family together. You say, I've got to have some keys here. There's a key to a godly home. You've got to have the right kind of foundation. I've got to follow biblical instruction. I've got to follow the role that God's placed me in. I've got to get back and I've got to start leading my family in family altar prayer. I've got to get back to all these things. Some of you know what to do, you're just not doing it. Many of us are that way, aren't we? We know what to do, but something's happened, we've just quit doing it. Let's get back to doing what we know to do, right? I'd like for you to pray with me if you will. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give you an invitation and ask you this. Men, would you take your position seriously? Let's all stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, and I want to pray with you. The preacher's going to come and I'll turn it over to him, but I want to pray with you. And I want to talk to the husbands in this closing prayer and ask the husbands, would you determine by the grace of God to be the spiritual leader that God wants you to be? You're going to be the man that brings your family to church. You're going to be the man that has the family altar with your family. You're going to be the man that prays with your wife. You're going to take this thing seriously. the role that God has put you in. And secondly, could I ask you, the ladies who are here, the wives, could I ask your wives, just would you start praying for your husband to be the man that God wants him to be? But more importantly, would you start praying that God would have you to be the lady, the wife, the mother, to be filled with the Spirit of God? Have that spirit of meekness the Bible talks about. And have the fruits of the Spirit that are evident in your lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Would there be some wives that just say, Lord, I want that in my life. I'm tired of the conflict. I'm tired of all the, just the it seems like the strife. I want to have that peace in our home. I'd like to pray with you, but also if you want to come use this altar to pray, you can. And Father, I ask you to bless this invitation time. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. I want to tell you thank you for allowing me to say a few words tonight. And Lord, that you take these scattered thoughts, and Lord, that you put them in some good ground, that they'd bring forth fruit. Thank you for Brother Stanley and Stanley. God, would you bless them? Lord, would you bless Lighthouse Baptist Church? Would you bless the families that make up this church? Strengthen them, grow them, mold them, Lord, to be more like you. And Father, if you would bless this invitation, may decisions be made and solidified in our hearts that we're going to fulfill the roles that you've called us to. Father, thank you so much for allowing me to be able to stand behind this pulpit one more time. And I love you and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the preacher comes, I'll turn the invitation over to him. Thank you, preacher.
Brother Derrick's going to lead us in the invitation.